Amen. Philippians 2:5. All the way down to verse number 10. If someone can read that for me, Philippians chapter 2, verse 5 to verse number 10. I mean, all the way to verse number 11. Excuse me. Philippians 2, 5 to 11.
Let this be mind in you, which is also in Christ Jesus, who, being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of man. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God also has highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father.
Thank you, Sister Floyd. Thank you. Amen. Now, that first verse, Philippians 2:5, I got stuck on that particular verse because it is a challenge of the mind. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. And nowadays, every trial and experience that we go through, it is the battle for our minds. It wants to control our thinking. And I can see how the writer on this text, he wants us to continue to have this mindset as we deal with certain issues. What was, the train of thought that Jesus had going through many things that he experienced in life? And he always maintained a godly focus on his purpose. And we nowadays, going through many things that the entire world is going through, we still got to keep our mind on Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And whenever things come against us, it wants to deter us to go back to things that are familiar, because sometimes we may feel a little slight security in going back to things that are familiar to us. But sometimes that can bring us away from Christ instead of bringing us closer to Christ. Mm-hmm. And I noticed that during this Christmas season, you know, many people, they miss the celebration of Christmas just due to the nature of their work. I mean, some people in the hospitals, you still got the nurses and doctors there. You still got the police force. They still got to be on patrol. People in the military. People in nursing homes, the firemen, and people that's keeping the energy going each and every day. So even though they may miss out on celebrating Christmas, we pray that they do not miss out on Christ.
Amen.
So between now and New Year's, we pray that we will maintain the mind of Jesus Christ. And then verse number 6 says that Jesus being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God. We know that Jesus and God, amen, they're all of the same. But it's very unique how in verse number 7, but made himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of a servant, mm-hmm, and was made in the likeness of man. Mm. Well, now, when I look at verse number 7, I'm saying, Lord, you stated servant before man. Really, I would think that, Lord, you would, you know, form the man and made him a servant. But it looked here that God dealt with the character before he dealt with the man.
Mm.
He said, look upon the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of men. Now, the first phase that we're coming through all the way from verses 2 to verse number 8 is when Jesus emptied himself. I mean, you coming out of heaven, coming down to a planet called Earth and deal with all of our issues and all of our shortcomings. that, Lord, that had to be a very big, huge turning point for him. And when he says he made himself of no reputation, it's kind of hard for me to kind of grasp that, because it was all prophesied in the Old Testament. But I can see here that I said, Lord, why did he have to come down as a servant in the likeness of men? Lord, why couldn't he come down like as an angel? I think that would have been more significant. But as we read on in the text, God didn't want that, because God wanted Jesus to identify with humanity on our level, not from an angelic level. And as we look here to the verse, on verse number 8, it says, "And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross." And I'm looking at this, I'm going, wait a minute. First, I'm already coming out of heaven. I'm going to become a servant to the likeness of man. And I'm being humbled, and now I got to die? Lord, I got to die, and die on the cross. So it's not just a death that you're going to experience, but this is going to be a death that's going to be the turning point for all humanity, past, present, and future. And notice here that Jesus has got to keep this mindset, that you are sent from God to fulfill this purpose, a death on the cross. Then it says, you know, obedient unto death, even the death on the cross. And then it says here in verse number 9, "Wherefore God also has highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name."
Yes.
So your death on the cross is not in vain.
Mm-hmm.
Just to know that a humble Lord is born, born in Bethlehem of Judea, born of a virgin, and you're going to identify yourself with the issues of humanity and die for our sins. But that's not how the story ends, because he says in verse number 9, God is going to highly exalt him and give him a name which is above every name.
Mm-hmm.
Now, when I look at that, this always brings me to Hebrews chapter 1, verse number 3. And it says here, "Unto whom being in the brightness of his glory, the express image of his person, and uphold all things by the word of his power." That when Jesus had by himself, he purged our sins and sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high. And then verse 4 says, "And being made so much better than the angels, as he hath by inheritance obtained a more excellent name than all the angels combined." And I said, Lord, you have done all of that just through the name that is exalted above every name. And as we know, there's no other name under heaven whereby we must be saved. So then it says here that the name of Jesus, every knee should bow, of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth. And that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is the Lord, to the glory of God the Father.
Yes.
Now, when I read that, I got this glimpse that when the rapture comes and God's going to take the church out of planet Earth, and there's still going to be some left down here. And I believe that when all of us get to heaven, I don't think that we're going to have an angel that's going to be giving instructions saying, it's time to bow now. I believe just at the glimpse of all of heaven's glory and all of the majesty and brilliance we will be so captivated that we can't help but to bow our knees and say that Jesus Christ is Lord.
Amen.
I think we'll just be overwhelmed with all the glory and the angelic presence. And the Bible says there's also going to be an aroma up there. And I mean, just to be captivated with all of that, my mind would say, I will bow and humbly submit myself and cause my mouth to say with joy, Jesus Christ, not only is he Lord, but he is my Lord.
Yes, yes.
And so Jesus has taken on the form of a man. Mm-hmm. That he's going to be take on, he's now immortal, now he's going to take on mortality. Mm-hmm. But Lord, your name will be exalted and your name will be declared around this planet. And now when I look at the planet Earth, right? I looked at the word Earth and God showed me, he says, if you move one letter in the word Earth, it spells the word heart. So when you look at Earth, if you put the H in front of Earth, right, it spells H-E-A-R-T. Mm-hmm. And I said, Lord, was your heart in planet Earth when you created it? Did you put Jesus on planet Earth because your heart was in it? And that would kind of took me overwhelmingly because he says, things in the earth and things under the earth. That means that all of the demons that are subject under our feet will have to bow down on their knees and give reverence to Jesus Christ that he is Lord. Now, knowing that Jesus has got to go through all this, in verse number 11, it says here, to the glory of God the Father. That Jesus is giving all the glory back unto God. To be humble, he said, I don't take credit for it. All of this is because of the purpose and the mission that I'm fulfilling on behalf of my Heavenly Father. Now, Jesus coming here to planet Earth, God's intention was to give us a godly example and how to live life on this planet. Even though Jesus was rejected by his own people, some of us have been rejected by our own families. Mm-hmm. Even the Bible says that Jesus came into his own and his own received him not. But to them that received him, he says he gave them power to become the sons of God, even to them that were called upon his name. Mm-hmm. So his name is significant to come from heaven down to planet Earth. And then he says here that that just to know that Jesus can identify with us, it means brings me to the point of Hebrews 4, when it says that for we have not a high priest, but cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points, listen, tempted just as we are, but yet without sin.
Yes, yes.
So to keep the mindset of Jesus Christ that was also in him, to keep that same mindset, he says that even though we're living in a sinful world, we should be sinning less.
Yes.
We got this mindset that was in Christ Jesus. He took upon the form of humanity, found in a fashion as a man, mm-hmm. humbled himself, and the first thing was he became obedient. Mm-hmm. When Jesus Christ is born in our life, causing us to become new creatures now, born himself in us, one of our first things is that, Lord, we want to become obedient to the voice of Jesus Christ.
Yes.
not so much to the voice of what this planet is going through. Many things, amen, they change, and many things has its different seasons. Mm-hmm. It lasts only for a length of time.
Right.
But the name of Jesus shall last forever unto eternity.
Yes, yes.
And he says here, amen, my sheep follow me because they know my voice. And when you know the voice of Jesus, can't nobody fool you on saying, who just spoke to me? Whose voice did I hear in my spiritual ear? You know it was the Lord Jesus Christ, because Jesus goes beyond speaking to your flesh. He speaks to your spirit.
Amen, amen.
And when he speaks to your spirit, can't nobody else speak to that form of man? Because look, I mean, even God, he formed us, amen, also in his image.
Yes.
And so Jesus here, I'm down here on planet Earth to fulfill a mission, and let me show you how to do it. And he shows us by going into John chapter 13, mm-hmm. verse number 12, all the way to verse number 17. Could somebody read those set of verses for me, please?
I will.
Thank you,
so sister. After he had washed their feet and had taken his garments and was set down again, he said unto them, know ye what I have done to you. Ye call me master and Lord, and he say, well, so I am. If I then your Lord and master have washed your feet, ye also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example that he should do as I have done to you. Verily, verily, I say unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord, neither he that is sent greater than he at that sent him. If he know these things, happy are he if ye do them.
Amen. So here is Jesus's act of being humble. He says, so after he had washed their feet, I mean, just back then, when you learn the history of the Gospels, that is one of the lowest positions to have, even as a servant, to wash dirty feet. And some of us, we may not have experience washing other people's feet, but I can remember at the men's conference at RBC in 2009, when all of the men got together for the weekend, and we stayed there for Friday night, Saturday, and Sunday morning. And one of the sessions we had to go through, I had to experience, was to wash my brother's feet. Now, it's humbling when you have to wash their feet, but it's twice as humbling when they are washing your feet. And I mean, you are taking upon the role of Christ when you wash their feet. And then for you to take the towel, wrap around your waist, now you wash their dirty feet. And there was a point where many of us men, that was our first experience, we began to have We got emotional, mm-hmm. because there was a sense of pride that had to be broken. Mm-hmm. Because you get a group of men together, and we're having a mountaintop experience, and now Jesus says, now I want you to wash your brother's feet. We're like, wait a minute. Lord, this was not part of the script. But as we noticed, for every program that we had, it was subject to the leading of the Holy Ghost. And so it was one evening service. It was right after dinner. Pastor Coker and Pastor Brown, they said, now we're going to go into washing one another's feet. And a lot of our brothers' eyebrows raised up going, what? And when we experienced that moment, I mean, we would never, ever forget that. And to know that if we're going to call Jesus Lord and Master, if he can do that to show us a way to live on this earth, he says that now that you know these things, happy are you if you do them. Not just you got head knowledge of it. Pastor Brown would say, we are knowledge rich, but experience poor. Rich on knowledge, we can quote, we can write, we can pray and do all these things, but we are lacking in experience. Even James says, don't be a hearer of the word only, but be a doer of the word. And if we are just a hearer, he says that we are deceiving our own selves. He says, happy are you if you do them. Now, when we wash one another's feet, we have to dry them with the towel, right? And after drying them with the towel, I kind of took the extra step and kind of, you know, got my brother's shoes and put them in the right place so that when he took his foot out of the basin, I dried him off. His shoes are right there. I sent him right there. And it's like, he couldn't move unless I moved his feet. He couldn't go and try to rush the occasion. He had to wait there and be patient and be humble so God can speak to his heart as well as mine. Mm-hmm. And I said, Jesus, you did this as an example for us to do to our brothers and our sisters. And as we know, amen, in 1 Peter 5, I'm going to quote that. As Peter writes, he says, likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves to the elder. Yea, all of you be subject one to another and be clothed with humility. For God resisteth the proud and give grace to the humble, right? Minister Sister Nedrick, she told me, she says, if you are not clothed with humility, you are walking around naked somewhere in your body. And for you not to be clothed with humility, that means that my pride has got to be wounded. My self-esteem, thinking about me, I got to think about them. And so I had to change my mindset. And then it says, likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves to the elder, yea, all of you be subject one to another. Then it says, for God resisteth the proud and giveth grace to the humble. Then he goes on to say, humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, and I will exalt you in due time. Oh, my goodness. That, Lord, all of Jesus is humbling experience. He says here, amen, exalted him and given him a name. And now what's in a name? Your livelihood is really packaged in your name. And when I found out what my name meant, you know, Patrick Michael, I looked that up. And I looked what Patrick meant. And Patrick means nobleman. And then I looked that up under St. Patrick, who was a Catholic priest in England. And I looked that up, and many of the characteristics fall under his name, that they call him St. Patrick. He was a nobleman. And then I looked up, what does Michael mean? And we know it means, you know, in is almost like in a reference unto God, like a character of God. So I said, Lord, you named me to be a nobleman after God. And then it was just recently, well, a couple of years ago, I was playing in the play, in playing of the role of Jesus Christ. And it said that not on the, I think the title of the play was Come See a Man. And after playing that and knowing what it stood for, I mean, it had a deep impact on my life. And then when I read these scriptures that Jesus humbled himself, even though he is Lord. And I was reading in Matthew chapter 26 that even after he was praying in the garden, here come Judas and the band of men and all the Levites and stuff. Here they're coming after Jesus. And so Peter, what did he do? He drew the first sword. He cut off the man's ear. And Jesus had to minister to his enemies to put the ear back on his head and told Peter, put up thy sword. He says, do you not know I got the power to call down 12 legions of angels? And I looked it up, that Lord, what is one legion? He says that is 6,000 strong.
Mm.
So I said, Lord, you had the authority to call down 72,000 angels to rescue you. But then as I was reading on, he says, I can't do it because scripture must be fulfilled.
Mm.
God's word must be fulfilled. That it was prophesied all the way back that Jesus would die on the cross. All the way back, I was reading in Psalm 24 and then Psalm 22, how David even wrote all about Jesus on the cross. And Jesus coming from that lineage, it was also in his bloodline to fulfill scripture.
Mm.
So Jesus here, a humble Lord is born. And then he says here, I'm going to take the form of a man. Let me learn about humanity. Because I even though I may be a high priest, but I want to experience what they experience. I want to go through what they go through.
Yes.
I want to come to the understanding what they understand.
Mm.
But in all of that, all of our suffering is not in vain.
Yes, yes.
I said, Lord, you're coming not only as a human, but Lord, you could have came as a man. But he says, but before I become a man, I got to come as a baby.
Mm.
Ooh. I got to come as a born infant. Straight from Mary's womb. I got to come through that way so that no one can look upon Jesus and says, Jesus didn't go through that. Yes, he did. He experienced growing up as a baby unto an adulthood. And look at the example he left for us.
Mm.
Now he says we can look upon Jesus.
Mm.
The author and the finisher of our faith.
Yes, yes.
For the joy, amen, can experience everything from birth, listen, through life, to death. And another thing is, he's calling us unto resurrection. Mm. Hallelujah. Mm. Come on here. When I look at the title, A Humble Lord is Born, I'll put down a humble Lord is born to die and to live again.
Mm.
So he says here, I'm giving you a picture. All of your suffering is not in vain. God says, when you humble yourself, listen, humility is freedom from arrogance. From us, you know, us men, you know, it's kind of hard talking to us, you know, even many of us that are married just driving in the car. And your wife would give you a set of instructions and you say, no, I know how to get there. And then we're 15 minutes late. But if I would humble myself, listen to the spouse God gave me, we would have been there on time. But a pathway of humility, it leads to a grace from God. And when God's grace begins to move you and lead you, Lord, I can reach my destination knowing that you got me there.
Mm.
It was not me, myself, and I. It was rather we, us, and our.
Yes, yes.
Between me and God, we can do all things through Christ.
Mm.
Through me and God, all things are possible.
Yes, yes.
And just last night, Minister A. Nedrick, she was letting me know that we wanted our Christmas to be a lot much better. And then once we begin to reflect upon, well, think about the Christmas Jesus had. The angels come down and give an announcement. The shepherds men get excited. They go see the birth of Jesus, right? And then right after that, they are running for their lives.
Mm.
Because we know that the king heard that, there's coming one that's going to take over the kingdom. So I got to kill every child with 2.5 years and younger. So right after you have that big celebration of angels and the child is born, now they got to be on like running for their lives to get out of there. And then after they get out of there, right, Joseph has a dream and says, now it's safe to go back because the king is now dead. And Joseph is going, wait a minute. We've been here for a while now. We done set up camp. I got my business running. Now you want me to go back? And what did he do? He humbled himself.
Yes.
Took the advice of an angel sent by God and went back and followed instructions. And if he didn't humble himself, scripture would have been distorted because he had to go back to fulfill the word of God.
Amen.
And as I look at the related scriptures, even in your Sunday school outline, look at the related scriptures. John 1, verse 14, and I love it.
Mm.
And it says, and the word became flesh.
Yes.
The word became a human.
Mm.
The word became flesh and tabernacled amongst us.
Mm.
And we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father. Listen, it says, full of grace and truth.
Yes, yes.
Jesus brought the dispensation of grace and he was the manifestation of the truth.
Mm.
And so I said, Lord, all of that, Lord, what am I going to get out of it? What's my takeaway, Lord? And as I look at the aim in the outline, it's good to know the humility of Christ's birth, life, and death. It's good to know that, right? And what's the principle? The principle is to recognize Jesus as the ultimate example of humility and service. I said, okay, Lord, I get that. Now, here's where the rubber meets the road, is where you meet the application part.
Okay.
It says to put others' interests above our own by humbly serving them as Jesus gives us an example.
Yes.
Now, I'm rushing to church to get there early Sunday morning, right? The weather outside is foggy and rainy. I noticed that this didn't happen today. It happened before. I noticed that my brother is stuck in the parking lot because he had to park on the grass. So I get out of the car. I park alongside. I get one of the parking lot ministers to help me push my brother's car out of the mud, right? And as he's pushing on the gas, we're pushing from behind. And guess what gets all over my suit?
Mud.
Mud, dirt, grime, the smoke from the exhaust, right? But our mission was to put the concern of our brothers above ourselves. So we pushed the brother, keep rocking it. And we finally got him out of there, right? And we prayed and asked God to bless him on his way out. Me and the brother looking at ourselves, I said, brother, we got to get cleaned up as best we can, brother. We got Sunday school right here coming up. And brother, and then I got to open up the service and worship. And so God says, God was letting us know, after you made application, God was saying to me, now you're ready for worship.
All right.
Now you're ready. Because before you go to church and have church, let me have you act out the church. So he says, your actions will speak louder than the words that you're going to open up the service. And listen, nobody else had to know this. God says, that was just between the three of y'all. And God says, that's all I wanted to be. So don't make yourself of no reputation as if you did some big, great thing. Mm. God says, I had to set the stage to teach Minister Nedrick, before you go and have church, you better act out the church.
Amen, amen.
And as you go into the gates of thanksgiving and into his courts with praise, now you're ready for worship.
Mm.
So my takeaway is, in all of our getting, get understanding from God that, Lord, you don't only want me to hear the word, you want me to fulfill the word, just as Jesus did. Even if that means I got to put my agenda on hold, get my brother out of a muddy situation, then I'm all dirty, messy, going into the men's room, trying to clean up everything the best way I can, and I'm smearing it. And then I got to get up there before the people. And if Jesus is saying, okay, now we can have service. Now we can have church. Because my humility is before God, and God says, I will exalt you in due time. Now you're ready for the upliftment of God's spirit to be in the sanctuary. Now you're ready that when you pray, you are praying with humility. And on that day, the atmosphere, I mean, you could cut it with a knife. I mean, it was as if Pastor Brown can get up there and just hear the hymn and just say, let's close out in prayer and amen. And God set the stage all because we took upon ourselves humbleness to help my brother out, act out the church. Mm-hmm. Now God says, now let me minister to you. And as you minister to the people, so that God will be glorified. And I believe that's what he said. And every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. So in all that we do, God, you get all the glory. And in that, I'll close out in Jesus' name and amen.
Amen. Woo.
Thank you, my sis. Amen. This has been an upliftment moment right before we close out. Amen. And amen. We're just going to have a close out in a word of prayer, and then we'll begin to have Christmas after Christmas. Hallelujah. Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus, thank you, oh God, for this glorious moment to sense the presence of the anointing of the Holy Spirit. That you led and guide, oh God, this entire session from beginning to end and then some. Our spiritual cups, oh God, are running over with the abundance of the life of Christ Jesus because of your word. Now, oh God, let the words that we just hear, let it become manifested in our life Because we just celebrated the birth of Christ. Now the life of Christ begins on day two. Let this day, O God, be a day of reflection, a day of celebration, O God, that, Lord, I can even knock on my neighbor's door and just wish him a Merry Christmas and have a Jesus-filled New Year's. That, Lord, even if we get visitors that come to our door that wear the white shirts and the black ties, those are, oh God, that could be of different religions. If they come knocking on our door, I pray that we can reflect out of humility the love of Jesus Christ. Yeah. So when those people leave our homes, they can say that above anything, they got the love of Jesus Christ. All righteous. Have a Jesus-filled week. God bless.